Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. Turn your Bibles to the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 49, verse 8. And on this Saturday, and I don't know about you, but I am looking forward to the second coming of Christ. I'm looking forward to leaving this sin-cursed world with all of its tribulation, trouble, and pain. And this service has always been about keeping hope alive. I think you put it right in the path of the other one. That's what these Saturday services have always been about, is keeping hope alive from a Christian perspective. Reminding Christians of the blessed hope to not lose heart, to not faint, to not throw in the towel, to not quit, but to keep their focus on the blessed hope, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight I will, by the grace of God, continue to preach How to Hope, lessons from the Israelites and their Messianic expectation, part 15. Genesis chapter 49, verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We praise you and we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace, and your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes all of these things possible for us, sinful human beings. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit as well, and for all of the millions and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And Holy Father God, we thank you for all that you have allowed us to do and to accomplish to get us to this point today. And I thank you, Lord, for the people who make all of this possible on a daily basis. Lord, at great sacrifice for the sake of others, to hear the gospel. And Lord, I know that you will reward them with a prophet's reward. Help them to know that. Encourage their hearts. And help them, Lord, everybody who helps in this ministry, to do it with joy. We individually confess our sins and our sinfulness, Lord, as Christians. Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, as we from our hearts by your grace forgive others. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness through the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and make us whiter than snow on the inside. Empty us of ourselves. Crucify our flesh, the old man within us afresh and anew. Help us to die to self afresh and anew, and hide us behind the cross, as they say, down and have said down through the years, and fill us with your blessed Holy Spirit, and put a guard in our hearts, our minds, our tongues, our attitudes, our temperaments, that we would not sin against you. And Lord, we pray for lost souls to be saved, for Christians to be encouraged and revived, and to get back on the firing line. And in the words of Brother Greer, your servant up in North Carolina, how about you one? Lord, help us to get one. Lord, help us to at least witness to one and lead one to Christ this year, to see them baptized, to see them added to the church, and going to a local church, growing in the faith. And so, Lord, we pray that one would turn into hundreds, hundreds would turn into thousands, thousands would turn into millions around the world. I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to do the Great Commission like never before in times like these. We cast all care upon you tonight, for Lord, we know that you care for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. How to hope. And I want to say again, I thank God for all of our friends around the world, from Russia to the Philippines, from China in the underground church to Nigeria, from Kenya to Japan, and we thank God for you. We thank God for your drawing others, inviting others. God draws who he wants. But thank you for inviting others to sit before your device to hear the preaching of the Word of God. And thank you for your encouragement, your amens. We have now a page called Patreon page, the Gospelite Society, Evangelistic Society Patreon page, if you want to stand with us. Not only with your prayers, but with your finances. We invite you to become a supporter on that Patreon page. There are other Christian organizations using Patreon now. God will bless you, of course, for supporting a ministry like this, because we're preaching the gospel now 4 times a day, sharing the gospel in various and sundry ways. So we thank God for you. Keep on praying for us and standing with us. I want to preach in your hearing briefly how to hope. Lessons from the Israelites and their Messianic Expectation, Part 15. In our last message on last Saturday, we looked at the hope of the Messiah contained in Jacob's pronouncement of blessing on his sons. Judah is heralded as a praiseworthy descendant who will triumph over Israel's enemies and be celebrated by the descendants of his brothers. He is described as a lion conquering his prey, and as an old lion resting in peace. The scepter, a symbol of authority and power, is prophesied to remain in Judah's lineage and out of Judah's family. Thus we have the lion of the tribe of Judah. A ruler will come who will gather all people to himself, and mark the beginning of an age of peace and prosperity on earth like the world has never seen. His name is Jesus Christ. Keep hope alive. Judah and his brothers had no way of knowing who this particular ruler would be. But we know that this ruler is none other than Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. His name is Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the bright and morning star, the lily of the valley. Why does this particular messianic foreshadowing give us so much hope? Keep hope alive, dear Christian friend, for some of us are falling apart. Some are just not stable anymore. You know why you're not stable? Because you're not keeping hope alive. You're not focusing on the blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ coming again. I was preaching the gospel earlier this morning, and I told my wife that I was so excited about preaching the gospel that it was hard for me to come down. I had just got through preaching it. It was hard for me to come down off of it. Most of you don't know anything about this, but preachers who have preached the gospel with God, with the aid of God, in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, something happens that is inexplicable. Dr. Billy Graham said that the power is in the gospel itself, and I just couldn't come down. I couldn't bring the helicopter down to get ready for my next preaching engagement. And why is that? It's because it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. It's all about getting the gospel about Him out. It's all about Jesus. And so many Christians are discouraged because it's not all about Jesus anymore. It's about them. It's about getting a certain kind of job. It's about trying to become a prosperity person, a fake it till you make it person, trying to keep up appearances with the other people. It's a rat race in the church. It's a rat race going on in the church. Everybody trying to outdo one another, trying to prove they're the most blessed. Most of it is a sham. People are depressed, defeated, sad, disgusted, mad. Marriages are falling apart because people won't keep hope alive. People are losing their minds because they won't keep their focus on the blessed hope, Jesus Christ. From beginning to end, my dear friend, you need to keep your mind and your eyes on the prize, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ coming back one day. He'll do something on the inside of you. But be that as it may, why does this particular messianic foreshadowing give us hope? It is because of what we know about the history of Judah and his brothers. They were not particularly noble characters much of the time. All of them, except Reuben, colluded in the, talk about collusion, in the attempted murder of their little brother Joseph, and then decided to sell him into slavery. Reuben slept with his father's concubine. Simeon and Levi attacked and killed the men of an entire city when they were unable to defend themselves as retribution. Judah frequented a prostitute he thought was a prostitute who turned out to be his dead son's wife. If you were trying to establish a royal family, my God, help us. The sons of Jacob had too much scandal surrounding them to even be in the running. But God, amen, somebody, but God is able. And God did it in spite of all of that. The point, my beloved, however, is that God took his messed up family, or this messed up family, and made something of it. God took this messed up family and made something great out of it. It was out of this family that the nation of Israel was established and became a blessing to the entire world, because God does not go back on his word. The promises of God are without repentance. It was through this wretch of a family that the kingdom of David and Solomon became the envy of the world at that time. It was through this family that the Lion of Judah became an enduring symbol of royalty and power, not only in Israel, but in other places. And it was through this family that the Son of God was born into the world to gather all nations unto himself. Keep hope alive. Keep real hope alive. Keep hope alive in your heart and mind by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Word of God, of the second coming of Christ. He came the first time. He's going to come again. Why is your head bowed down low? Why are you sad? Why are you defeated? Why are you depressed when your King is coming? Look up, Jesus said, for your redemption draweth nigh. When we look at the family of Jacob, it gives us hope today, because it reminds us that if we are saved, if we are truly born again, Jesus is in the process of making worthy creatures out of us right now. Even with all of our sins, our faults, our failures, our inconsistencies, we will one day be a bride fit for the bridegroom by the grace of God, by the might and power of God. And let me just help you a little bit. You say, well, it doesn't seem that way like right now, man. I'm down in the dust. I'm muddy and dirty and bloody. Through much tribulation must you enter into the kingdom of God, dear friend. Dr. Billy Graham made it very clear that those who are truly born again will have a whole lot of tribulation in their lives, and trouble and difficulties and problems. But they're all designed to break us and to make us and to mold us to be what God wants us to be. And when the bridegroom comes, we will be united with him for eternity. I thought about heaven this morning when I was preaching the gospel. I challenge every preacher under the sound of my voice to use the power of the internet and the power of podcasting to proclaim the gospel to the world each and every day. Do it each and every day. It'll do something to you. As Dr. Billy Graham said, there's power in the gospel, just preaching the gospel. It's not in you. The gospel will not only change others, it will change you, preacher. Your job is to keep on preaching the gospel. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. I preach the gospel every day, multiple times. And not only am I presenting the gospel to lost people, but it does something to me. Be that as it may, Dr. C.S. Lewis I had the privilege of visiting his office in Oxford, over in England. And anyway, he wrote, God said in the Bible that we were God's and he is going to make good his words. That is little g gods. If we let him, for we can prevent him if we choose, he will make the feeblest and filthiest of us into a little g god or goddess, a dazzling, radiant, immortal creature, pulsating all through with such energy and joy and wisdom and love as we cannot now imagine, a bright stainless mirror which reflects back to God perfectly, though the God, the real God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, though of course on a smaller scale. His own boundless power and delight and goodness. The process will be long and in parts very painful, but that is what, and let me emphasize painful, and see, this is what many Christians are running away from, the pain of the Christian life, the trouble that's in the Christian life, the fact that things don't always go smoothly in the Christian life. The debts seem to climb high and the money seems to go low in the Christian life. We're buffeted on every side. And there are many Christians right now about to throw in the towel if they have not done so already, because they don't understand the pain that comes with the Christian life, and they don't understand that it is for their good. That's right. That's right. That's right, dear friend. The pain, the tribulation, the trouble, problems. It's for your own good. It's for your own good. It's designed to break you and to make you and to mold you and to build you up to be what God wants you to be, so that you will depend on him and nobody else. Dr. C.S. Lewis continues, the process will be long and parts very painful, but that is what we are in for. Nothing less. He meant what he said. And Dr. C.S. Lewis was right. How about it, dear Christian friend? Have you lost hope? Have you chosen not to focus on the second coming of Christ, understanding that he is coming back the second time, and therefore you need to be ready? You need to be prepared? Are you depressed? Are you overwhelmed with the news that comes out so fast now that you can hardly keep up? Are you distressed? Are you depressed? Have you been contemplating suicide like some Christians have? Have you basically quit and you have not told anybody? Have you thrown in the towel? I forget the number, but a whole lot of preachers resign every Monday across the country and around the globe. Are you allowing the devil to get you tied up with penny-ante stuff that does not matter? And you're busy, huffing and puffing, going here and there, trying to do this and that, and you're not getting anything done for God because you've lost focus on the blessed hope. It is amazing how the blessed hope of the second coming of Christ will refocus your life and help you to choose to do the right things and say no to all of the wrong things. Not only is shacking up and committing fornication and adultery wrong, The other problem, if you will, is that you don't have time to be doing stuff like that, because you create so many other problems for yourself. You can't even serve the Lord as you should, and you know it. So keep hope alive, dear Christian friend. Refocus on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help your Christian people everywhere to get their minds off of themselves, their problems, their troubles. Cast them upon you and refocus their attention on the fact that one day, Lord Jesus, you're coming back just like you came the first time. And you will deliver all of us and take us to a place that we cannot even begin to imagine. And all of the negative feelings we have down here on earth, even on a good day, will be wiped away. All of the pain, all of the hurt from death, and the losing of loved ones and friends, all of the betrayal and all of the Judases will be gone. And we will have real peace, a peace that we've never had before. We have a taste of it, but never had this kind of peace before in heaven. And joy and rest where the weary, where the wicked will cease from troubling, and the weary will be at rest. Lord God in heaven, so many of us look for that day. Help millions more to do the same. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Now, beloved, in closing, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I urge you to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Understand that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, including yours. And all you have to do is believe on him, trust in him, and ask him to save you. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, and you do not want to be left behind. So here's how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and the consequences of sin, which is hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. We are all guilty from the Pope on down. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of sin, and my dear friend, death is sad, and death is bad, because it leads to eternal death. The soul never dies. And so your soul will either trust Christ as Savior and go to heaven, or your soul will deny Christ and go to hell forever. So accept the fact, thirdly, that you are on the road to hell right now as I speak, if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a real place. That's why Jesus Christ preached on hell more than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven, trying to warn us of that awful place so that we would trust him as Savior and go to heaven to be with him. God, believe it or not, God and Jesus, they want us to go to heaven and to be with them. Why, I do not know, but they, other than the fact that they love us. We don't deserve to go to heaven. We deserve to go to hell. But I praise God for his mercy, his love and grace. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, wrapped himself in flesh and suffered and bled and died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again to save us from hell. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he died for your sins, was buried and rose again. For Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you want to be saved today, believe with your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And call upon his name, pray and ask him to save you. I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer right now. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have done evil in your sight, for I have broken your Ten Commandments. For I have lied before, I've stolen things before, I have taken your holy name in vain before, I have lusted after people and things before, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil life and follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving him as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Until next time, beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the honor and the privilege to be here tonight. My mind goes back to all of these Saturday services. What a time we have had down through the years by your grace and with your presence. We thank you for what you have done, for what you're doing, and for what you will do. And Holy Father God, we pray that through it all and at the end of the day, over 3 million lost souls would hear the gospel through this ministry and be saved. 3 million Christians would be revived, your holy name glorified, Jesus Christ exalted. For we pray it in his name. Amen. God bless you, dear friend. Until next time.